me to run through it since you're dialing in?
Yeah, I'm putting my dogs in my car and I'm gonna stop watching the game and I will pay attention, but I won't run it if that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay, first up would be just roll call, just for who's in attendance. So here at the city.
At the city, you're there.
Travis Reed.
I think.
Sherry Marino, city staff.
Derek took us through the building department, and online we have Robert.
Bill Brady.
Hi, Gary Ripka.
Robert Eamon.
Donald
Goplin. Okay, so that's Janelle Goplin, Gary Ripka, Donald Valentine, Robert Eamon, and Bill Brannigan.
Yes.
So first up we have approval of the minutes from the March 20th, 2024 Park Advisory Committee meeting. I trust you had a chance to take a look at them. Would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I make a motion to go ahead and approve the minutes. I reviewed what Sherry put out, but the verbal part looks accurate. I assume the recording is okay.
Is there a second?
I second.
Got it. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes have been adopted. First item on the agenda is a schedule of installing the Bigfoot parking meters and regulatory signs. I'd like to first turn this over to Travis Reeves to talk about where exactly we're at with getting the security cameras up, and then Travis Tibbetts can talk about where Public Works is at in terms of its gearing up to get the pay stations and signs up.
Hi, Travis, IT. Where we're at presently is we're sort of a holding pattern of minor movements forward. I have tried to source some trail cams that will be used as a kind of a holdover until we can find a way to hit the wireless path for connecting up these cameras due to PUD pulling down that option of attaching to their poles on the, what direction is that, west side. The way that works is there's a lot of obstructions, and so wireless requires line of sight to be able to transmit that high data. I am working on over a possibility with Travis Tibbetts to shoot a signal down that way. Our goal will be to connect up and do a test, but I'm keeping trail cams as a standby. They allowed me to order 4 of them, and they're hopefully coming soon. I have not gotten a new ship date. Those were repurchased again this morning because the last 2 vendors were unable to fulfill. We do have all the cameras for doing it with the wireless distributed. We ordered that, prepped it, and everything's ready to go as soon as we can get a good clean path. We are also looking at another option that Matt is looking at possibly getting boring down there so that we can actually physically connect these cameras, which will remove all the wireless issues, and that's a great plan for moving forward, but once again, that's, we're tied to a contractor and getting quotes and what's needed there. That is where IT is at with it, and I know signs and everybody else are held up by IT, so I'll pass it on to Travis.
Yeah, our work side of this is
you probably speak up for a little bit.
Yeah, the mic's on the ceiling.
Oh, sorry.
So we're kind of waiting for the kiosk to install and begin.
It's on the public works side of it. We're waiting for the, once the kiosks were installed, I was under the impression that's when we can begin the bulk of the work, and we're ready to go once the kiosks are ready to go, put those in and sign it to go in.
Yeah, we have a hard go live date of May 1, which is coming up rapidly. My assumption is that you're either going to want to just go ahead and do the install,
week, maybe ideally, so we're looking at the 24th, 25th, and 26th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a lot, what we have to do, I'm sure, because you have a lot of signs for that. So,
so your crews are Monday through Thursday?
That's correct.
So maybe a Wednesday, Thursday, with any wrap-up on the following Monday?
Or potentially overtime, if we'll do what we have to do. And then, I can't speak for other departments, but I know if we could pull some extra things that would be available for us if needed.
Okay, so maybe Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
Right, yeah.
That would be the ideal.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
Okay, and you guys have the capacity to pull that off right now?
If everyone's there,
well, if we go next week with a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that puts us in a position where if there's any issues, we still have a Monday and a Tuesday before that Wednesday hard go live date.
And we have a Saturday at the time of the period. Okay. So yeah, we can do that.
Okay, that's where we're at. So
we wish we could get better timing. It's been a struggle. The best I can do is I know the east side, I can have the equipment attached and working. It's the west side that we have no visibility now with not being able to cross the street.
I guess at this point, just on the security side, you're going to do the best you can given that, because we're right at the end of the schedule.
Yeah, I guess if they can move forward with installing these without cameras, that's our best answer. And I am working to get something up as soon as possible.
I have a question.
Yeah, please, Jerry.
So with this camera situation, are we gonna be delayed here on up and getting running?
No, I think what we're saying is we are going to put everything up for the May 1st launch date, whether or not we have full camera coverage or not.
Okay, that was just my question.
I mean, I think at this point we've made too many commitments to too many people that that's the date. People are buying permits. Anticipating that's the date, we need to make it happen.
Oh, cool.
Any other thoughts? I mean, if there's thoughts to the contrary, I'm certainly open, but that's where my head's at. I mean, we've had to push this back, hoping we could get the camera piece sorted out.
And all for me, yeah.
At this point, we're just kind of up against the wall. We have to get it in, and Public Works needs at least a few days of lead time. So here it is.
Yes, so we did.
They'll still be able to add the cameras at a later date, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it will happen. Yeah. It's just there's been delays in trying to make the tech work with the hamstring from PD.
Got it.
And there may very well be some of the cameras up day one.
Oh, the east from what's the street right out here? Sorry,
Hatfield.
Yeah, east of Hatfield, all of those are fine. I can get that set up right away. Everything west is where we can't hit. We have no city infrastructure for wireless or network down that direction. So the problem is that when we're trying to stay on the opposite side of the road, basically on the road where all the pay stations are, every awning in every building, I can't get line of sight. And that means by my testing, I'm able to get maybe 3 and 4 megabits per second. And when we consider that with wireless loss and rain, it would be unsustainable to actually have any video worth viewing. That's just, it's a no-win with the way it's currently set up. I'm working with Travis for a solution, and then Matt is looking at doing underground work to get city connectivity over there in time.
Well, it is what it is. So, best we can.
So at this point, what we're saying is we could expect that Public Works will start doing the install next Wednesday. Would be the start date. 24th, 25th, 26th, and ideally we'll have them up for the weekend, if not, certainly before the 1st, based on their staffing.
And then are you going to, is there a plan outreach just of, you know, okay, they're in, it's working, it's up, it's running, like, what's the marketing for that next week?
Yeah, we can send them, we can send some information out to businesses, everybody else at the pay stations are going up there to see it as well. Everybody who had purchased the courtesy permits already received an email notice that the e-permits are available. That was over 550 people. And so, you know, we'll dovetail on that with some additional outreach from the city to the businesses down there. We can send a notice down to everybody. That's now all official and effective May 1st, just as a reminder. Does anybody else have anything further on this topic? On the meter installation?
No.
I think it's good that we're gonna get up and running. I know I've dragged my feet on my courtesy permit. I want to talk to my crew and stuff.
Right.
About how we want to do that. But we've been delaying, you know, we've delayed a little bit, you know, some keep having some delay. So I think the feeling is the public, and I know it's sleep well, never, you know, never happened. So why, you know, why do it, you know what I mean? So I think it's imperative to get up and running.
I agree with you.
I agree.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Let me see here. I think we, I noted in my memo that we had, yes, we're starting to see numbers pick up on the paid permits. But I, to Gary's point, until the meters are up, I think that's really going to make it sink in for some folks who have courtesy permits but have not yet acted on purchasing the actual paid permit. We did have a question from folks about the. The Zone 8 permits are $45 a month. And one question that's come up is that would it be reasonable, since that's the higher price permit, to make that permit effective in both Zones A and C? Because it's a $45 a month permit. And then the $25 a month permit or $100 a year permit, that's Zone C only. Does that make sense?
I'm sorry, where I don't have access to the map, so I can, I'm gonna stay for answering.
Do you want me to?
I don't know what you talked about.
Yeah,
where.
I'll verbally explain it. The Zone 8 permits.
Do you want me to share the screen with that map on it, Derek?
Yeah, could you? Go ahead and put that up.
Let me get to it real quick.
Just the website will work.
Yeah, the website would be fine.
Yeah, I've got the website up, so let me try to share that, okay? There we go.
So this is the interactive map that's on the city's website that people now, when they go in to get a parking permit, they have a chance, it calls out, you know, go to the interactive map to figure out what zone you're in, and then you can go in separately and purchase your permit. You'll know, you know, what permit you want. Mm-hmm. So the Zone A is basically the Abbey Street lot, and the lot, was it the lease? Is not the Fall Street lot and Bay Boulevard lots. Mm-hmm. Thank you. She's showing right there. That's the Zone A. That's a high. That's probably the highest demand. That's the $45 a month. And the concern that people who are buying those permits is, what if it's full and this is the highest priced permit you have on a monthly basis? Why not allow us to park in Zone C if there's really no availability in Zone A? Because they're not gonna park in Zone C if there's a spot in Zone A, because that's what they're buying the permit for. It struck me as a reasonable request, given that that's a $45 a month permit. But I wanted, we need your feedback on that, and it would be a motion to do that. It's not hard for us to change that on the back end.
Mm-hmm. So Zone A, if you buy a permit in Zone A and it's full, and you can park in Zone C, is what you're saying?
Right.
Okay.
Is that reasonable?
I think that's reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's reasonable.
Okay, that's where we were at.
Okay, do we need a motion?
Wait a minute. Can we talk? Discuss this a little bit?
Absolutely.
Sure. We're seeing you moving a little. To me, we're gonna run the same problem. I'm sitting here at the map on my other computer. Okay, so as a fisherman, so we're trying to figure out, we're looking at these courtesy, these permits right now, okay? And I'm trying to draft my crew on what to buy, all right? You know, do we not just buy a Zone B? But what if Zone B is full? Do we buy Zone B and C? Well, now we're up to $250 per year, all right?
To be clear, Gary?
Are we gonna let the guys in Zone B, if they got a permit but that's full, are you gonna let them park in Zone C also? I mean, it's kind of, we're moving the, you get what I'm saying? We're moving the problem down to the next permit.
Well, I understand, Gary.
Are we gonna treat them differently than we treat the rest of the zones?
All right.
You understand when you're following me here?
Well, yeah, what we're driving at here, though, is keep in mind that for commercial fishing, for example, that 96-hour duration is good in zones B and D. So that's a two-zone permit already for commercial fishing.
But, right, you have to bump to qualify for both those zones. You got to buy two permits.
No. For commercial fishing, if you buy a commercial fishing permit, then you can park in Zone B or Zone D. They're both eligible.
Okay, they're both eligible. That's been a confusion. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, and we'll spend some time clarifying that with the commercial fishing users group tomorrow morning.
Right. That's the discussion you guys just had about Zone C and A and all that brought up my concern about Zone B, you know.
Yeah,
Zone B.
Doesn't really show it on there.
Yeah, it doesn't show it.
And D. Zone B and D. Anyway, I get my zones stirred up here, but yeah. See, a lot of people think you gotta buy a permit for both.
Got it.
Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm. I can get that added down in the section, once that's all passed.
Yeah, it is clear in e-permitting. If they go in, they'll get the information in the e-permitting.
Yeah.
That permit's out. So we'll just get it on our website too.
So then my argument on the previous one is null and void, the answer to the question.
Okay.
So basically what we're saying is the $45 permit flavor is available. If you're buying that more expensive permit, you can park in the principal zone or the tier two zone that's next to it. So it'd be a Zone A, Zone C, and a Zone B, Zone D. Kind of a range. That make sense?
Robert here, I have a quick question on the enforcement. If we allow this change and they buy a Zone A and they park in Zone C, would the license plate scanning, you know, technology know that, and we'd be able to report to see like 20% of the Zone C parkers are actually Zone A permits?
Well, the license plate would pick up that vehicle is appropriately parked in a Zone C, and we would know. It's interesting. I don't know the answer off the top of my head as to how that's going to kick out on a report, though, Robert. I have to look into that.
Yeah, I think if we had data, it would be really kind of like, yeah, let's just try it. But if we can't tell, then it makes it a little more problematic. That's my only concern.
Well, we'll certainly be able to track how many vehicles are parking by zone, or in each zone, you know, over certain periods of time. That we'll be able to track. I'm just not so sure about how that kicks out for these permits that apply in multiple zones. So, again, we're talking about, we would need a motion to allow the basically, if you're buying a tier one permit, you would be able to park in the tier one area and the adjacent tier two area.
I motion that we allow people who buy tier one permit to park in the overflow area.
Which would be the adjacent tier two, just for clarity.
Yes.
Okay. So we have a motion, is there a second?
I'll make a motion.
We have a motion, Bill.
Okay. Then I'll...
I'm having a hard time with this one. I'm sorry, I apologize for that. How are you going to enforce that? I mean, if a person is, parks in zone C and says, well, it was overflow, I think it's a good idea. I'm not necessarily against it, but I see all kinds of enforcement issues here.
Well, here's the logical aspect of it is this. If you're paying $45 for a zone A or a zone B permit, those are the two tier one locations. Those are the locations closest to employment. You're going to want to park there first because you're paying $45 a month for the privilege of parking there. It's only if it's full that you would choose to go to, say, a zone C like Canyon Way parking lot. The enforcement's not an issue because the license plate recognition will know that that particular permit is applicable in both zones A and C. So there won't be an enforcement issue there.
Gotcha.
Still have a motion out there.
Need a second?
Still needs a second.
So Durin?
If there is a second.
So we have the motion. So all we would need, okay, I will second it.
Okay, so a motion and second to allow those who are buying tier one permits, the 45 a month permits, to park in the adjacent tier two locations. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We also had a request, it's not imminent, but we did have a request if the Parking Advisory Committee would be willing to revisit at a future meeting or meetings a discussion about how the off-season permits should be placed. Because when we go off-season, which will be November 1st, then the meters will only be running on the weekends. This is from somebody who's buying a tier one permit. And, the 45 a month. And they feel like, is it really fair that they're paying 45 a month in an off season when the meters are only running on the weekends? No motion needed, but if there's general consensus you'd like that scheduled at some time and some options brought forward, we'd be happy to do that.
I think it's a legitimate request, but we'll probably need to discuss it, so. Mm-hmm.
Right, and since it's not imminent, I thought we could, if it's something you want us to pursue, we can just get that structured in for a future meeting.
I think that's a good idea, because I think we're going to have a few of these kind of things. After we get up and running, that there's going to be quite a bit of difference. I think this is just going to go off and I'm going to live in a prairie land. It's going to work great from the minute day one. I think we're fooling ourselves. I think we're going to have a few things to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to have a breaking period.
Yeah, we're gonna have a break-in period and I think there's gonna be quite a few things to talk about. We might even have to have a whole meeting just about adjustments.
Probably more than one.
Fine.
I mean, whoever voiced that concern, I would assume the same thing would apply to the fleet. You know, between November and May or April, there's a lot of fishing that goes on, particularly crab season. So, you know, do they have to pay full fare, or do they only have to pay for the weekends?
Well, is there a general agreement that you'd like us to schedule a discussion about, further discussion about the off-season pricing for a future meeting, since we have some time to work?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I think the fleet's going to be, they're going to have a lot of questions about the off-season stuff.
Well, you know, one thing, though, is that might work, though, is say, hey, look, yeah, well, absolutely, we'll pick up that conversation in the coming months so that it can be had before we get to the next off season, which would be November 1st.
Right.
And that answers
I think that
for now.
Yeah. I know a few guys are like, so I gotta pay $45 a month in October when we're not even, you know, not all boats fish, you know, I mean, some shrimp season, it's over in October, there's hardly anything going on, there's only a few guys fishing, but they're doing boat work and gear work and stuff, and anyway, that is, I've already heard that. I gotta pay $45 a month in the off season too, when the tourists are all gone, there's more available parking. You were telling me that this is good because there'll be more available parking because of rotating people, but there's no people there. So why do I have to pay? You get where I'm coming from?
No, I hear you. And I think by telling them, look, we're open to taking another look at the off-season stuff, I think it's a fair thing. But we don't need to solve it right now. Let's focus on the on-season stuff that we got to get rolled out May 1st.
Right. I think we should convey that tomorrow, Derek.
Okay.
I think that's important, really important.
Okay. Okay, I covered those items that were in there. Any feedback on the web at this point, what you're looking at right now? Did anybody have a chance to take a look at it?
I'm sorry, I have not looked at it.
If you got, I know everybody's really slammed right now, but if you could take a few moments to look at it and just, if there's anything you think we need to add or adjust to the webpage, please feel free to just drop me a note directly. We're happy to make further adjustments if it's going to help make this more, this clearer for folks who are looking to purchase permits.
Okay, will do.
Yeah, I've been so busy with our stuff, I thought I should be more up on this, but I looked at it once and was confused because of the, I didn't understand I had to have an invitation on the commercial side.
Yeah. Right, because we're not making that permit available to everybody. We have to screen to make sure that it's actually commercial fishing users that are applying for those permits.
Right, and I was confused on that when I initially looked at the website.
Okay. Make it clear that it's invitation only.
Right. And I might have missed it. I tried to go through it once, and I might have missed it, but I didn't see the invitation only thing.
Okay. We'll take a look at that here and make sure it's clear. Okay. Next item we actually had, we covered a couple of it, was the review of the budget. I Now we can put that up on the screen.
Let me get to it, Derek.
And you received a copy of it in advance. You bring that up.
Yeah, working on it now. Good. Yep, I'm almost got it up. One second. There you go.
Oh boy, that's small. Can you get zoom up a little bit?
Yep.
And we'll want to look at the right hand side, which has the proposed budget for the current fiscal year. Mm-hmm.
Ugh, so that's in the way. Can you see it?
Can you zoom it up a little more? We don't have to see the whole thing. And then just pan it to the right exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then write it down with it, okay? So that let's start with that part.
Mm-hmm.
This is reflecting revenues, our revenue projections. Effectively what we're doing right now, you'll see a 50,000 down there on the bottom on fiscal year 23-24. We're pulling that over from general fund savings we had on personnel salaries and whatnot from vacant positions. So we have some general fund reserves we can pull over here to patch up our budget because the rollout is happening later than we had anticipated. So we're not bringing in the parking revenues as quickly as we thought we would be. And so for the current fiscal year, we have to bring in some funds just to patch things up. And we've modified our fiscal year end estimates for 23-24 to reflect, you know, that we are basically doing the initial ramp up of the e-permits, so those will get purchased because we're going into the on-season. But the meters will only be running for a couple months this fiscal year before we hit July 1st and roll into the 24-25 fiscal year. Then you see 24-25 as a proposed budget. And then, again, the revenue numbers up there are considerably higher. We were sure as cursors right there.
Yeah.
And that's because they reflect the full year's worth of anticipated collections. So those, well, right now we're just looking at the revenue side. That's what that reflects. When she pans down to the expenditure side, the yellow bars, which are further south here, going all the way down.
All the way down?
Yeah.
Next page? Nope.
A little too far down.
Is that right?
Yeah, this first piece just picks up personnel services. This is the parking enforcement officer's time. That's what those figures reflect. So that's the cost for parking enforcement personnel. The one being one FTE. So we'll just keep going. Now you can go down to the rest.
Okay.
Of
there we go.
Can I ask a question here?
Yeah, absolutely, Gary.
I'm somehow confused there. What's the parking enforcement salary here? Is it showing?
Well, it's your total cost, which includes all fully loaded costs, so your insurance and all that other stuff. So wages and salary, you're at just under $46,000. Fully loaded, which includes all costs, retirement, workers' comp, all of that, you're at $81,000.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yep.
So take home, well, I guess take home would be 41.
The actual wages?
Yeah.
Wages for current fiscal year are 41. They're anticipated to go up to just under 46.
Okay.
Okay, now you get down to the expenditure side of it.
That's where we're at here?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to focus largely just on the upcoming year for expenditures. We've done most of our expenditures, frankly, for this year, getting to where we're at for the rollout on the Bayfront. But for the upcoming fiscal year, 24-25, we do have an ongoing contract with T2 Systems for maintenance of the software and those base stations, so on and so forth. We'll have a payment due for that. That's also for the services they provide for e-permitting, ticket payment, all of that. So that's $32,000. But $4,000 programmed in for professional services, financial. That's auditing costs, or at least this fund's share of the overall budget's auditing costs. That's actually a number I get from finance. It's not one we put together. We put a couple thousand in there for vehicle expenses, equipment expenses at $35,000. We put some funds in there because we anticipate that there's a chance we may have to replace a base station or add a base station or do something of that nature, and we wanted to have some resources there. Infrastructure expenses at $25,000, along with traffic safety and signage further down at $10,000. Those are resources for Public Works to install new signage, not just in the Bayfront, but also in Nye Beach, because we'll be shifting the conversation in Nye Beach, and we're going to be talking permit parking. In fact, we have had a number of businesses already ask if they could get permits to park, paid permits to park in Nye Beach, because enforcement of the existing 3-hour time limit, they're getting parking tickets, and it's you know, they would like to have a similar option that the Bayfront has, which would be a zone designation where they could pay for permits and exceed the time limits. But we need to be able to have that conversation. But these dollars are available then to make those types of changes, new signage, things of that nature. Let me see what else we have in here. Those were the more significant numbers. We do have an interfund loan. I do want to touch on that. That's that $45,000 down there. Remember, we pulled in a little over, it's probably $275,000 from the Agate Beach Closure Fund to fully fund the Bayfront rollout. And so we're going to be paying that back over a series of years at $45,000 a year. So that's the part.
What's the interest on that, Derek?
I don't know that we're charging interest. I don't believe we are. It's an inner fund, so we don't have to charge ourselves interest.
Gotcha.
So that's what we're looking at. So as long as we get that up and running, operating, and the revenues come in reasonably close to what we anticipate, this fund will be fairly healthy next year. Any comments on the budget? So this is the draft. It is still subject to change. It has to be presented to the budget committee. Budget committee may ask for revisions or changes. City manager is actually going through his final round of review, so there may be some minor adjustments even before it hits the budget committee, but I wouldn't expect major changes at this point.
If you have to go underground or something like that for the Wi-Fi to these systems, is that going to come from this budget?
Excellent question. You know, that depends. We have a couple other funding sources we might be able to tap into. We have a utility undergrounding fund that has a contingency we might be able to tap into. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to hit, particularly if it can serve multiple purposes. And sometimes some of the undergrounding can. We have other, you know, needs for that kind of conduit. So, to be determined.
All right.
Any other comments on the budget? All right, we covered.
I got a question.
Yeah, please.
I got a question, not so much on the budget, like they're having problems with, or they did, I don't know, we never heard an update on that I can remember, on the patrol vehicle for enforcement, and it wasn't working. The software wasn't working on that. Where does that money come out of in the budget to get that done, or is it in the budget, or how does that work?
Well, if it's an issue with, you know, a lot of the Genentech stuff, which is license plate recognition, is covered under our contract with T2. They're sub under, so it's part of those services. If it's an issue on their end. And Donald, how is that? Could you just let Gary know how things are working on the LPR?
Worked pretty good from the last several months of it. When it's It does what you want it to do. It's as simple as that, but it works.
And the vehicle issues, those turned out to not be related to the Genentech, right? That was a different issue in the car?
Correct. It was just another issue in the car that happened to go bad coincidentally after the install.
Okay, so that wasn't driven by the install. It was a separate issue.
No.
And that's all fixed now too, right?
Right.
So I think we're good on that front, Gary.
Well, good. I was curious. So I remember we talked earlier about that, you know, the car loading, they're having issues. And we never did hear how that came out and if they got taken care of. So anyway, thank you.
It's been taken care of for about 2 months. The only times I ever have to go into a different car is if my car has to go into service. You know, oil change, tires, whatever the case is, that's it.
Hey, Derek, did you want to talk about the next meeting?
Yeah, well.
Thanks.
I have two things I wanted to talk about.
Good.
And they were at the bottom of the memo. First, I just wanted to remind folks that we will be meeting with the Commercial Fishing Users Group tomorrow morning. It's actually, Aaron sent out the notice on that from the port. So it's a port-sponsored meeting here at City Hall. There are a number of things on the agenda, some of which aren't directly related to this. I think they're going to be talking about Morrissey earlier in the agenda before we get to the parking stuff. So there's that may take a little bit of time. But what we're going to be doing is we have QR codes to distribute to those commercial fishing folks that are in attendance to include with their vessel. They're all laminated. And therefore, these single-use permits, you may recall, remember we talked about single-use permits being available at a 96-hour duration for that late deckhand add to a trip who's racing down and they hop on the vessel and they don't have a parking permit, they can just take a picture of the QR code and obtain that single-use permit that way. So we'll have those to distribute.
Right, now,
go ahead, Gary.
I think that's really important. There's a lot of, I don't know how to put this down. We have a lot of confusion going on here. And people just aren't, they're just not getting. I think this is a very important user group meeting tomorrow to try to get some of this stuff explained, I talked to Derek before this meeting tonight about it and he was, he's rounding the troops. So I'll put it this way. He's making phone calls tonight and rounding the troops up to be there tomorrow.
Fantastic. The better the more the merrier.
Good. So
we have that. And then the last item I just want to talk to you about briefly is that our city manager's office scheduled the annual volunteer appreciation dinner the same evening as your next meeting in May. So I wanted to talk to you guys about rescheduling. I think we still need to hold a meeting in May given we're doing this launch. There's probably going to be something that comes up that's important that it come before you. So the volunteer appreciation meeting is on the 15th, which is the third Wednesday of the month. Our thought is, could you do the 16th? Same time?
Thursday.
Are you saying the 16th of May?
Yeah, instead of the Wednesday, because we have a conflict now with Volunteer Appreciation Dinner, which hopefully a number of you can attend.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out of town between the 15th and the evening of the 17th.
That should be able to make it.
I'll be able to make it.
But I definitely won't. I'm swigger fishing in, up in the Upper Columbia, and I'm not missing that out.
Right.
Maybe. And Sherry, what do we have on the, do you have access to the city council calendar real quick?
Yes, I do.
For the council chamber?
Yes.
Can you check to see the availability of council chambers on the 14th?
The
Eric Sully asked if we could potentially do the Tuesday, the 14th.
No, there's a budget committee meeting. Well, there's actually two things scheduled on that night. Budget committee meeting and the bike ped.
Okay, the 14th is booked by other committees. 16th is available?
Is open.
Could you meet the 16th? You could try. And we can check with Aaron and Doretta. We couldn't make it. But how about we tentatively pencil in the 16th as an alternate date for this meeting? May 16th instead of the 15th?
That works.
Okay.
There's a pretty good chance I won't make that one, Derek.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gary, if you have any specific issues you want raised from the group, please email them to me, all right? Or
okay.
Call me. Either one works.
Okay. I mean, there's a chance I might be able to do it on a computer, but probably not.
Okay. All right. That's all we had on the agenda. Anything else to go to the order? We do not have any public here tonight. All right.
I think that's it. Thank you.
Meeting adjourned.
I'm looking forward to tomorrow, Derek.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for your patience tonight. I really appreciate it.
Good night.
Thank you. Sorry I wasn't there.
Thank you.